I will tell you about that really quick with the Relief Society president thing. My bishop came over. It was on a Tuesday evening, and it was the night after my husband had passed away. And when he came over, he actually came over to check and see how we were going to be doing, financially, if we were going to be okay. Can you guys? Okay, sorry. Okay, so he came over to check and to see, to make sure, and how we were planning for the funeral and everything. And as he was sitting there, he kind of started looking at me kind of funny. And I'm like, what is going on? And then he started to, his countenance kind of started to change. He kind of started to glow, kid you not. Crazy thing. It was beautiful. It was a very big blessing in my life to witness this. But he all of a sudden just said, I need to tell you something. And I said, what? And he said, the Holy Spirit has just whispered to me. No, actually, it just yelled at me. You're to be my new Relief Society president. So he actually issued me that call there right that night. He had not talked to anybody, anything. He went home and called the stake president and said, you will never believe what I just did. And the stake president was like, that's okay. I know who she is. It's okay. But that calling actually turned out to be one of the biggest blessings for me because I didn't have a chance, really. I got out there and started serving immediately. So I learned very, very quickly what works to help you heal. And service is one of those really key things. So that's how I can say it. I honestly can still say to this day, it's probably was one of the greatest blessings that God has given to me, next to having my amazing husband that I had and my children. Because he knew what I needed to get me through. Because you all are here. You all know what I'm talking about when I say the pain, the hurt, the sorrow when you lose your spouse. When you lose someone that close, there is nothing like it. And so a loving Heavenly Father sent a wise bishop to my house, and my bishop got tricked. He didn't know. And then when they announced it in church, you guys have seen the E.F. Hutton commercials, and everybody goes, where everybody gets quiet, and then and then afterwards it's like, everybody's just dead silent, you know. You could audibly hear the gasps afterwards. So it was really actually a blessing for me. So I am grateful for it. I'm going to be talking to you about, yes, we are all cracked pots. And you know what? It's awesome. We rock. Let me tell you what. We're all cracked, but there's a purpose for that. And I want to talk a little bit today about that purpose and how we can utilize that in our lives. I'm just like all of you. We've all lost someone we love very dearly. My mom actually died 6 months before my husband, and it was crazy because my dad had a massive heart attack, and we went down to see him, and they had done a bypass surgery on him, and they didn't think he was going to live. And he'd only been home from the hospital 4 days, and my mom had trouble breathing. And we took her to the hospital, and we found out she had pneumonia, and she died 2 days later. So that was very shocking. We were battling cancer in the middle of this with my husband, so I wasn't quite sure. And then November, right after that, we found out my husband's cancer was back, and then some, and that he was terminal. And then he died. And then my father just actually recently died this last September. So I lost all three of them within 3 years. But I look at it, my children lost their dad and both grandparents within that time frame too. And I've got two, my daughters that I have are almost 10 and almost 13 now. So they were fairly young going through all of this. And but I can see where it's ultimately making us a stronger family. And I can see where recognizing that I have cracks in my pot in myself, that there's actually advantages to that because, and we're going to get into that a little bit now, but I want to share a story with you, and I have to put my glasses on. Sorry, I'm blind when it comes to reading, although many of you in here probably are going, yeah, we get it. Okay. An elderly woman had two large earthen pots, each hung on the end of a pole, which she carried across her neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, the cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots of full water home. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was very ashamed of its imperfection and was miserable that it could only do half of what it had been made to do, or so it thought. The cracked pot, after 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. "I am very ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the water bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "For the past 2 years, I have only been able to deliver half of my real capacity. Because this crack in my side allows water to leak out all the way back home. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work, and you don't get full value from your efforts," the cracked pot said. The water bearer, sorry for the old cracked pot, and compassionately said, "As we return to home, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." You can click. She's my clicker. As they went up the hill, the old cracked pot did notice the sun shining on the beautiful wildflowers growing along her side of the path, and this cheered it some. However, at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had again leaked out half its load, and so it apologized to the water bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw and put it to good use. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path for the return trip. And every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate the table. Without you being just the way you are, there would be not be this beauty to grace the house." What is the moral in this story, people? Yeah, you can talk. This is the class I'm going to ask questions. You can talk. Joy in the journey.
We're doing more good than we think.
Absolutely. And those things that you think, I can't do this because this happened to me and that, maybe those are really actually a blessing. And maybe really God knows that you have those things going on. God is utilizing those things. God knows where we are struggling, but he's able to utilize those things. We'll talk a little bit more about that. You don't have to share your hands. Do you guys, I'm curious, how many people are in here, they're under 1 year right now, a year less? Got a hand, just a couple is all? Yeah. I'll tell you what, that first year is, people that have been through the first year, please, yes. That first year is rough. And it's kind of nice. I'm now at 3 years, and this was talked in another class that Marnay had earlier, how it seems like you look back the previous year and go, wow, I've come a long ways. So let me tell you, those of you who are sitting here that are under 1 year, it gets better, okay? Your cracks are mighty big right now, and you are bearing a big burden, but it does get better. And I'm here to tell you it gets better. Okay, so trust me on that. 2 years, same thing. I just got past my 3 years. My good friend Marnay here is at 7 years. So she gives me lots of hope all the time. And I'm sure many others in here could share that it does get better. And there are things you can do. But I just felt impressed to let you know that. That thought just, I was like, anyone in here that's wondering, how is she doing this? I had my moments too. And I crashed and I got on my knees and I was just weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And like, why did you do this? It'll be okay. Okay. So I wanted to tell you that Ernest Hemingway said, "We are all broken. That's how the light gets in. It's when we are broken that we can receive more light." He didn't say this, but this is something I want to add to this. I want to add that when we are broken, that's how light gets out too. Can you show the next slide? We are actually, you guys, honestly, we are in the most amazing position we could be in. And I know some of you want to punch me in the face right now for saying that. I even want to punch myself sometimes in the face for saying it. But it's true. God uses cracked pots. Which one of these pots do you see the most light coming from? That one or that one? Which one really is more beautiful? Guess what? This one has the holes in it. Not the complete one there. It's this one. God can utilize you. So he also, not only can he put the light into you, guess what? He knows by putting it in, guess what you're doing at the same time? You have the ability to put that out. You have the ability where you're at to influence a huge amount of people. I have to tell you, and don't punch me for this one either, but I think that sometimes I really do believe that I believe that we had some say in what our trials were going to be before we came over, or if not most, but I won't go there. But I do believe that Heavenly Father entrusted us, and He knew, because every one of you know in here, this is, to me, there's nothing that has brought me to my knees like losing my husband. Nothing. There just isn't. And He knew that's what it would take to get me where He needed me. But He also knew that I had the ability, as He knows every single one of us in here, to let that light out and to help other people. Because I'm here to tell you right now, when we go back to heaven, it's not about just ourselves getting back. And it's not just, this is, life isn't just about us. It's about how many people we bring back with us. We knew each other before. We don't remember each other from before. But I'm here to tell you, when we get back there, there are going to be people that are going to come up to you and they're going to say, thanks for letting your light shine. Thank you for your example. Thank you for helping me. It is when we are in the depths of despair that God can use us the best. You should be patting yourselves on the back saying, God trusts me. God knows I'm amazing, because He does know you're amazing. He knows He can utilize you. Does that mean that it's going to be easy and that we're going to always be able to do this and that we're not going to have our days where we, you know what, I don't want to say swear, but we do. And I when I pray, even Heavenly Father, I sometimes I'll talk to Him and He's like, I'm sure He's going, you again, because I'm very real. I feel very real with Him. I trust that He knows my heart. So when I go to Him and I pray to Him, I'm like, you know what, this is hard. But I also say, please help me to do Thy will. Please help me to. And sometimes I feel like my light is dimming a lot, and I realize that I need to change a few things. But I want you to recognize so much about this widowhood. And Marnie will say the same thing I'm saying about this. It's about perspective. And as much as I miss my husband, and as much as I would want him to be with me, I look at where I'm at now as to where I was before he even died. My understanding of the gospel, my understanding of the Savior and the atonement. And I see some of you nodding your heads going, uh-huh. That happened because of the death of your spouse. It was a sacrifice that they made on their part too. But not only that, you're going to be helping a lot of people. They watch. I'm not trying to put pressure on you or anything. You don't have to be perfect. They also watch to see if you cry. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to have those bad moments. It's okay to say, like the Savior said, if it be thy will, take this from me. Because guess what? I've done that too. I can very distinctly remember, not long after my husband died, I was sitting on the floor in my bedroom, curled up in the fetal position, bawling my eyes out, just like, why did you do this to me? I can't do it. It was one of those nights where the pain was so real, it physically hurt. Yes, we know that feeling where it's so deep that you don't know if you're going to get past it. And I was like, take this from me. And the thought that hit me was kind of almost like a chuckle, which I hate to say that, but it was almost like he laughed and he said, it's okay. This is but a moment. You have to go through this. That's why we're here in mortality, is to learn this. And this is how you are learning it, is through this deep sorrow. So you guys have an amazing ability to receive a ton of light right now. Utilize it. I'm telling you, utilize the time you have right now to get that light, because it is critical. And I'll share with you more about that, because I've been studying a lot on light lately. Oh, it's fabulous stuff. Fascinating. And I think I do see widowhood as a blessing. Yep, I do. So you can punch me after. Not all the time. Sometimes I don't. I when I say stuff like this, I think people go, whoa, what is she, Pollyanna at the glad game thing, you know? Happy, she's happy all the time. No. Trust me, my kids have seen me cry. And that's okay. They need to see that. What they need to see too, though, is picking yourselves up and go, okay, I had a sucky day today. I'm going to do better. Or, you know, whatever. It's okay to have those moments, but let them be moments. Then when you get through that moment, and I've decided you have to have those moments, because as soon as I have the really good stuff and I start getting all this spiritual enlightenment, it's so amazing. And then when I go back, and then I start having these darker day or something, I go, okay, this really stinks. It's that, it's those opposition in all things, friends. It's opposition, and you have to experience. You cannot not experience the grief. This is something we have to do. And while you're doing it, the things that we're going to talk about in here, they're going to help you, but it's not a cure-all. It's not. God still expects us to experience. That's why we're here in mortality. We're trying to become like God. We are apprentices to God, okay? Being apprentices to God, he's trying to teach us how to become like him. He knows what we need to go through to become like him. So that's why, don't ever doubt your ability to get through this. Don't ever doubt, oh, you know, can I do this? Even though you feel like you can't, you can. But with the help of the Lord and with the help of Heavenly Father. It's through the atonement. And I want to talk a little bit about a talk that I read recently. And I don't know if any of you have read this. It's called The Light of the Perfect Day by Larry Lawrence. Has anyone read that in here? It's really a fabulous. It's in the Ensign. It was I think, March's. I don't remember. But it's a fabulous, fabulous talk. But he was talking in there, and he said, accumulating as much light as we can is the key to successfully passing the test of mortal life. Would you be surprised to learn that your success in life depends upon how much light you gain while you are here? Success is not about how much money you make or how many medals you win or how much fame you achieve. The real objective of our existence is to gain light. He's telling us that is why we're here, is to gain light. Our physical bodies grow bigger when we feed them nourishing food. Our spirits grow brighter when we feed them light. When it comes time for each of us to be resurrected, how will the Lord determine whether we receive a telestial body, a terrestrial body, or a celestial body? The answer is easier than you may think. If we have accumulated enough celestial light in our spirits, we will be resurrected with celestial bodies. If we have accumulated only enough light to qualify for terrestrial or celestial bodies, that is the glory we will receive in the resurrection. So really, ultimately, the reason we are here and learning too, there's so much about light, and I won't go into all of that here, but there is a lot of important things to remember, that the light of Christ, you can think of scriptures, I'm sure, as I'm talking about this, the importance of having the light. And you see people sometimes like, wow, that person, they're kind of glowy, you know, because they have the light of Christ. And that light is what's important. So I want to ask you guys, how do we increase our light? Come on, you guys can talk. You guys are so quiet, but that's because I'm talking too much. Okay, so what are ways that we can increase our light? Service. Sir, absolutely. Service. That and when you serve, what else develops from service? Love. You love people. Love is huge. And that was something he mentioned in his talk. What else? Prayer. Absolutely. Yes, when we pray, we are communicating with God. And I, along the lines with prayer, it's I have learned something for me. When I talk to God, when I pray, it's like I'm spilling my guts out to him. But I've learned to meditate. And that's when I don't talk and I listen, because I'm finding, so there's the two different aspects. And I would highly, highly recommend that once you pray, but take time to meditate. And it doesn't have to be this little thing. I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. But take time to listen, because I think he's trying to answer us and he can't get in because we're too busy still talking. He's like, hold on a minute. I got something to say to you, but you're not listening to me. Stop. And it's okay, but empty it out and then wait and listen for him. I saw your hand go up. Temple is amazing. And what do we learn about? Think about the temple. We learn about light in the temple. The different, yes. Yeah.
Gratitude.
Absolutely. Absolute gratitude. I'm huge on that. In fact, it's funny because when I've talked to people before about this. There are definitely there's five things that have helped me the most through my healing process. The first being prayer. I have learned that through prayer, I have just been able to accomplish a lot. My relationship with God before my husband died was good. I was a good person. I went on a mission. I did good things. I did my visiting teaching. I did things. Okay. I was good. But I was just kind of status quo. Now that I look back, okay, now when I pray to Heavenly Father, it's like, I need your help, dude. You know, I mean, it's deep. We have a relationship. Sorry. I know, but he loves me, and I know even if I... You guys, serious. If people heard my prayers, they'd be going. And I'm not disrespectful to him. He knows, my Heavenly Father knows, I love him so completely. And that's the thing that's so amazing about all of this, is I've been able to develop that relationship. So the first thing that we've just, so prayer, scripture study. That's another thing that I learned. Scripture study is key to getting through this. And reading good Ensign talks, you know, going back through old conference talks, reading good uplifting material. Yeah.
Sometimes going to church.
I like that. Yes. Sometimes when we go to church, we feel really uplifted. And other times we just sit there and cry the whole time. And sometimes people, if they're just, yeah. There's been times when I get there and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should be here. I'm a mess. But yeah. I think that, but scripture study has been key. Then after scripture study, service is another one that we just talked about. Service is huge. And I learned that early on when they made me the Relief Society president. I should say they allowed me to be. Yeah, they didn't make me do anything. I chose to accept the call, and guess what? I'm glad I chose it, even if it was intimidating and overwhelming. And honestly, I need to share this with you. And my patriarchal blessing told me that I would be a Relief Society president. And when my husband died, I said, Heavenly Father, that will not be fulfilled because no one can use a widow with two young children. Maybe when I'm old. Lo and behold, the bishop called me the night after my husband died. So it was pretty amazing. So, but he knew. Then after we have our service and gratitude is the next thing. Those four things so far. So gratitude is huge. And yes, I created a board for my children right when my husband was going through his cancer. And I called it our gratitude board. And we would write every day something we were grateful for. And I mean, seriously, some days it was just we were grateful for toilet paper. Not kidding. Or toothpaste. Or just something. But you can always, the thing I can guarantee every single one of you in here, there's going to be something. Just find one little thing you're grateful for. I will share this story. This is the time that I'm going to share my story about my leg. Monday, I decided that I wanted to go on a bike ride. During this journey, I have actually, the last 6 months, I've really changed a lot of aspects of my life. When my husband was ill, it was all about him. So I, for 14 months, and even before that, because he had a near-death experience the year before where he died on the table, operating table, and they brought him back to life. And then we got cancer, and then he died. So anyway, it was just a lot of a lotas. And when I was helping him, it was all about him. And my children, I had my two young children. I let myself go. I didn't worry about me. I didn't worry about what I was eating. I didn't worry about my exercise. I didn't worry about me at all. What I discovered was I was just a caregiver, and that was my role. And you, many of you in here probably understand exactly what I'm saying. By the time it was done and my husband died, I looked at myself and I didn't even know myself. I looked so different to me. I felt like I just didn't know. And finally, about 6 months ago, something in me changed, just kicked in. And I went, you know what, girlfriend? Because right after my husband died, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I wanted to die and be with him. I would drive with my kids in my car. Not that I was suicidal, you know, not literally, but I would drive with my kids in the car and I would see a tree and go, ooh, if we were to hit that tree. And then I go, no, he would just maim me and make me stay here crippled. So, but I thought, because we're all together, you know, that was my thought. My children and I are together, so we'll go together. It would be okay. I never did it. But I at times was so distraught. I was just wanted to be with him and I was thinking that. And as time went on, I was like, okay, I'll just do this. I am supposed to be here, whatever. I'll just keep going. And I would try and do. Finally, I realized if I've got to be here, because I had gained weight when I was, you know, going through all of that. And I realized if I've got to be here, I even thought I could eat myself into sickness. Like I would get some weird disease and then I would die. Not kidding. I mean, think weird things. And so I was just letting myself go. I didn't want to be here. But I wanted my children. It was a catch-22. I felt guilty because I love my babies. I love my children. But I didn't want to be here because I wanted to be with him. It was just a catch-22. So anyway, what I discovered was I started to realize if I've got to be here, I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I don't want to do this for the next 40 years by myself, but I might have to. So I better kick it in and figure this out, because God's not going to take me. He's already let me know I'm staying. Okay. I already knew I have a purpose here. I've got children to raise. So I decided to start exercising more and started eating healthy. And I started doing things that I was supposed to do for myself. And I started putting myself as a priority. And I found that my relationship with Heavenly Father, the more I developed my relationship with Him, the more everything else seemed to start falling into place. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And it all started kind of working together. And then I was able to drop some weight and I started getting into shape. And I was just like, I've been so excited because I've been able to go climbing and, you know, just do all these fun things and ride a bike. I mean, the first time I rode, this probably doesn't sound like a lot to you, but the first time I rode 13 miles on my bike, I thought I was like the coolest woman ever. Because I was like, oh, I didn't think I could do that. And it was like this huge accomplishment. So anyway, the last little while have been doing this and I have been happy. I have been so thrilled. My life has been just so much better. So I'm in my happy place. So last Monday, I'm out bike riding. And I did a stupid thing. I decided that I wanted to go up through some dirt to get back to another road. And so I'm like, oh, I can do this. I can do anything. And my bike, as I went to pedal, it stopped in the dirt, just stopped. And all of a sudden, I could feel my bike wanting to tip over. And as my bike tipped, I put my foot down and I knew then I was in trouble. I felt my whole foot just rip around and I could hear a ripping noise. And I knew I was in trouble. As I fell over onto the ground, oh, yes, see, I have an owie on my hand, too. This is all about sympathy, just so you know. Anyway, because my husband's not here to give me sympathy. As I laid there, the first thought was, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I just, I'm on this trail. There'll be people come by, but then I'm like, I hope nobody saw me. I look like such an idiot. Oh, my gosh, I was just sitting there, and I fell over. And then I realized how bad I hurt. And so I called my friend. I FaceTimed her, didn't mean to. And I'm yelling at the phone. And she's like, hello, hello. And I could see her trying to talk to me. I can't hear you. And I kept hanging up and recalling her. Not kidding. This really happened. And finally, I realized that my earplugs from my headset weren't in my ears. That's why I couldn't hear her. She could hear me, but I couldn't hear her. So she's like thinking the woman has lost it. Oh, my gosh. So finally, I put my earphones in. I go, oh, my gosh, I can hear you now. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Oh my gosh. And I'm like, I fell off my bike. I'm laying here in the dirt. She's like, I'll come get you. And so she did. And I was so grateful. At that moment, I really missed my husband. I was like, if he were alive. But I was grateful because I had a friend that could come get me. My husband wasn't here to come get me, but she was. I saw some gratitude. Okay, this is another thing I've learned from that. So as I'm sitting there boo-hooing, I'm supposed to be flying. Well, first we have this conference going on this week, and I've got a broken ankle now. And I was like, timing could not have been worse, really, because Monday I'm supposed to be flying to Missouri for 5 days. And we had all these fun hiking trips and biking trips planned. I'm not going to be doing that. Because when I went into the doctor, he said, you cracked the fibula and you ripped all the little ligaments on both sides of your ankle. And I just was like, are you kidding me? Well, so he says, but you can wear a boot. You can put weight on it because it's not a weight-bearing bone. So people, guess what I'm grateful for today? The fibula that's not a weight-bearing bone. Because I can stand here with a boot. Because if it wasn't that, I would probably not be here. I'd be at home with my leg propped up. My foot, I mean, it looks bad. It's swollen and it hurts like crazy, but I'm here. I'm grateful that I'm here because we've been planning this for a long time and I didn't want to miss it. I was kind of mad at God that day. I was like, I was happy. You told us to have joy. What happened to the joy? You guys know what I'm saying. And I was like, I'm doing everything you're telling me. And now this happens. The other positive, the other gratitude that I can find with this, guess what leg it is? My left. Guess which leg you drive with? The right. So I've got a lot to be grateful for, right? I am. I'm grateful. So gratitude is huge. It's huge. And that was something I did want to share in here is how important gratitude is. It has become a huge part. And my kids at night, when we read our scriptures, afterwards, I don't even have to ask him anymore. In fact, sometimes they kind of get cynical with me, but I'm like, they'll look at me, okay, I'm grateful for you tonight, Mom. Because we play this game. What are you grateful for? Because I want them to see we can always find something. And like I told you, it might be the toilet paper. And that's okay. Just always look for something. Guess what? When you're grateful, guess how much light you get back into you. Everything that we learn in the gospel, everything that we're given, we are told to do. Have you guys noticed that? We are a gospel of action. Do you know why? The action is what enables everything. It's when we act that we receive. It's like the catalyst. It's the same thing with gratitude. Did you notice that when Jesus, when he went and he fed the people with the bread and the fish, the first thing he did each time, you know, when he was doing this for the different groups, he thanked the Lord first. And did they have enough? Yes, they did. It's gratitude. There's an enabling power in it. And I can promise you and testify to you that if you're grateful, you will be able to actually find more light. Okay, do you guys feel overwhelmed now? You what? Oh, the fifth thing, exercise. No. Oh, yes, no. The fifth thing that I discovered, and that was what I discovered. So for the first 2.5 years, guys, I would teach this to people. No, I'm glad. Thank you, Joe. I would teach to people one of the best things, those four things. Now what I share with you, exercise, my friends. It is my mental therapy. When I was in the doctor's office with my ankle up, I started to sob. I was like, are you kidding me? And he's looking at me, oh, what's wrong? I said, now I can't exercise. He was like, okay. And I said, how long? And he said, well, you have to wear the boot for 4 weeks. You can't do anything on that foot. And I was, you guys, it's hard for me. I called Marnie in tears. I can't exercise. Because what I've discovered is that's also my time with God. I go out and I pound the pavement. And it can be simple. You know what I even do? My kids will tell you this. It's goofy, but I'll be standing in the kitchen now and I would talk to them. And you can do push-ups on the countertop. Did you know that? No, true. You in your kitchen. I would just stand there. And my first time I did that, my little 9-year-old was like, Mom, what the heck are you doing? My push-ups. And then I would stand there and start doing squats. She's like, oh my gosh. But you can. It's possible. So when you're trying to get that light in you, it's hard to get light when you feel sad. It's hard to feel light when that to get that darkness out. But those are the five things that I utilize that have helped me the most in my healing process. And those five things are the things that I share with, well, now five. It was four, like I said, until about 6 months ago. And now I understand. You watch those people are like, wow, those sports people are fanatical. And why is it they think they, you know, I would think, God, they got hurt and they're still trying to do that. That's stupid. You're going to ruin your leg. I get it now. I'm here to tell you, for those of you who haven't tried it, and it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be just a walk around the block. But the music I use, I actually listen to K-Love. It's a Christian music channel. Love it. I love it. It's got a beat because I love music. I love it. And when I go out and walk, I'm sure I've skipped sometimes because I'm like, ooh, this is great music, you know? In fact, I've tripped a few times doing that. But no, serious. And then I start jogging, pretending that I meant to do it. That's the best. Yeah, it's the best. Anyway, is there anything else? We've talked about temple attendance. Temple is an amazing, that's been another thing. When the website that I have is with actually some other widows that we started it together. And some of you actually in here have written for us, I think, and I don't know in this room, but it's actually for a Christian website. We don't treat it as if it's an LDS website. We put as much doctrine there as we can, but it's really for all people to go on there and to learn these things. And so I can't talk about the temple when I'm on there so much. So I love when I come here and I can share with you, get your booty to the temple. And if you don't feel comfortable going and doing an endowment session, I'll be honest, I absolutely love going and doing initiatories. Love, love, love them. And I cry every time still because of the blessings that I hear. And I do the endowments, but I can remember the first time I went to the temple after my husband died, it was the next week. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go there. I'm going to have the coolest experience. I'm going to get in there and everybody's going to they're going to, you know, he's going to be right there. I really believed that, you guys. I'm not kidding. And I'll feel him stronger than I've ever felt him. So I get in the temple and I never saw him. I never even really felt him. And I'm sitting there finally in the celestial room. It's going to happen. And it never did. And I broke down and sobbed and sobbed. All these people are staring at me because I'm over there just sobbing uncontrollably because I wanted to see him there so bad. And then I got home and I felt him really strong. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I went to the temple going there thinking I'm going to feel you and see you. What I learned from that is going to the temple is not about me. It's about service. We're serving other people on the other side. You don't need to go to the temple to see or feel your spouse. That's not important. You can see them. Well, not see. I shouldn't say you see them. I haven't seen mine. But feel them, you know, at your home. You can feel them other places. You don't have to go to the temple. But that's not the purpose of the temple. The purpose of the temple is to go there for yourself, to do your own endowments and to do the work that you need to do and renew your covenants. But really, what other place do you go that you do a lot of service? You are serving other people. That's the point of the temple, is to go there not seeking your spouse. Your spouse could be there with you, and some of you in here may have had amazing experiences there with your spouse. I'm not saying that won't happen, but don't go there with that intent because that's not the purpose. You can do other things and pray. You can have that same spirit of the temple in your home. That's what I noticed, too, through this whole process, is if you're doing those things, your home can be your temple. You can have those beautiful spiritual experiences in your own home. Yes?
Obedience.
Obedience. That's another thing. Yes. These glasses are a pain. Okay. So, yes. Obedience. Obedience is huge. That's another way we get light. What are ways that take away light from us?
Disobedience.
I knew you were going to say that. The opposite of that. That's right. Yeah, Joe.
Just being outside.
Being in nature.
Being able to ground yourself outside.
Yes. I will admit that not long, that same year my husband died, I kind of went crazy and went out, bought a UTV, a Can-Am. It's like, yeah, it's my toy. I call it my toy. My girls, it annoys them. I'm going to go play on my toy. Okay, Mom, whatever. But I go outside in it, and it's like freedom to be outside, to be outdoors. You're right, outdoors, the light, there's something about being outdoors. There are a lot of ways like that. When we are just, there are so many ways we can accrue light, but there's also ways that we can have our light diminish. But I need to tell you that the more you share your light, the more it grows. Because what I've wondered about that is back to the enabling power, the more you act, the more you do. So part of that could be even when you're emulating your light, it could be even that you open up more room for God to give you even more, and the people there can reciprocate back and forth. It's a two-way process. So the whole point of us being here in mortality is to get enough light so we can go to the celestial kingdom, if that's what our goal is. And so we have to determine that ourselves. I think something that's important to remember, let's go to the next slide. We need to remember that God is the artist. God is the artist, and he knows what he's doing with us, and we need to trust him. Have any of you ever seen this before, the Kintsukuri? It's to repair art that's been broken with gold, okay? And actually, I think that's very beautiful. Do you not? It's beautiful, isn't it? And that pot before was broken, and now look at it. It's beautiful. Okay, Marnay is going to go to the next slide for me because I have something to share with you on here that I thought was kind of interesting. Okay, so I thought that was a cool thing, and I actually wanted to order me a pot. I thought that would be fun. So I went on to look online, and this one up here is actually, it's actually done well. It's done correctly. That's what that pot looked like before, okay, that pot there. And I thought, well, that's cool, but that one was really expensive. And I went, I can't afford that. So I went on Etsy. Okay, friends, that's Etsy. That's Etsy. Okay, can you see the difference between the two? Look at them. Okay, this one was expensive, but whoever did that knew what they were doing, and they did the correct art. They used the correct measure. When I read when I read what the people said, they said we do kintsugi like. I mean, it was funny the way they wrote it because I'm like, dude, I could have done better than that. Okay, go to the next slide. Yes, see, this is another example. You can tell that was done correctly, right? Look at that one. It's dripping. And that was really on sale on Etsy. Those are real pictures. And I really, I almost ordered a couple pots to show you. And I'm not paying $400 for a real pot. But because they can be very expensive. Because those people know what they're doing. They spend a lot of time. I don't like holding this microphone. But the other one didn't work. Okay. How much time do I have? I can't see that clock. Okay. Okay. Really quick, I wanted to just quickly talk about this a little bit more in that when you choose to be healed and to have those cracks healed, which, by the way, your cracks will be healed, but not all of them, because there's a point for having some little cracks in there. Why? Let that light out and let more light in. It's okay to have cracks. Don't try and get rid of all of them. But the big, massive cracks, turn to God. God is the one that can do that. I liken this. God is the one that could do this. That's correct. If you go to false things to correct you, to heal you, what's going to happen? This. You're going to get that result instead. If you go to God, you're going to get this. You go there, you're going to get that. There is a difference. And there's false ways that we can heal. Sometimes we have so many distractions. Facebook is a huge distraction. Dating can become a distraction if you're not healed properly. You need to focus on healing you before you go out and try and date and venture out. And we don't want to turn to social media for the answers, because I see people going, oh. And through this grieving process, it's okay to turn out to go to other people and ask for help. That's normal. But don't utilize that as your main way. Try and turn to Heavenly Father, because guess what? He's going to help you look like that and not drippy and runny and fall apart like that. There is a difference. Go to the real source, which is God, not to social media. And the other thing that I just quickly wanted to say about this, because we've got to close, is be patient. I hate that word. I've always hated that word. I know. You guys are going, one more person tells me to be patient. It's about patience, too, and God's timing. I testify, if you let God utilize you, he will. And you know what? You're going to have crappy days, and you're going to wonder, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this anymore. But you will get through it. You have more strength in you than you realize. It can be done. I testify to you that if you allow God's light to come into you and you share it with others, you're going to get more. And you're going to have some days where that light's not so bright. And it's going to be, you're going to feel like it's snuffed out pretty much. The way you get that light going again, even if you don't want to, is start. You just start one step. Say one prayer that day. Say one grateful thing that day. Serve somebody. Just something. And you know what else? I have to share this with you too that I've learned. Sometimes God just, he lets you go through it. I mean, he doesn't take it away. He never, it's just going to happen. So if you're mad at him, which I have been, as I've told you, it's just going to happen sometimes. Sometimes you are just going to have to endure that. But what you need to tell yourself is, this is but a moment. That I can testify. I'm not going to tell you you're never going to hurt again. I'm not going to tell you that your light's always going to be bright. I'm not going to tell you that, because it's not true. But what I am going to tell you is, it's but a moment. That's what Joseph Smith learned. It's but a moment. If you ever start to feel like, I'm never going to get out of this, remember, mortality is a blip. We are in the middle of eternity right now, and it feels like we're really in the middle of eternity, because this feels like it's never going to end. It will. And one day we're all going to look back at this, and we're going to run up to you and go, oh, can you believe we went through that? Oh my gosh, that was so horrible. Really and truly, it's okay. God loves us, you guys. He does. And he sees each one of us in here, and he knows our plight. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to be mad, but ultimately we'll get through it. And I testify to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.